here we come, Bart. Another installment of the Bart and Bombi Show. We are a runaway train, man. Picking up momentum. Doing the do. SC is back on track, Bart. And that means we got a date with a ranked team this weekend, son.
Oh, yeah. You know, big win last week. I know everyone's saying Arizona State's a little down this year, but nevertheless, we needed to win coming off of the loss that we had to Oregon. And this is our stretch run right here. We got two really big Pac-10 games coming up and then our two biggest rivals after that. And then football's over for USC, so these last four games are going to pretty much tell everyone what kind of squad we have and set the tone for going into next year.
Oh, yeah. Bart hit the nail on the head. Two humongous road games for the Trojans. People are saying, you know, we don't have anything to play for, blah, blah, blah. Every college team in the nation wants to knock off a bigger dog than they are. And that's the opportunity we have. We're going to Arizona. Arizona's having a hell of a season. Man, I got to confess, Bart, you're more of a college football specialist than I am. I did not know that the Arizona Wildcats were going to be a team to be reckoned with this year.
They've just improved each and every year. Their offense has been one of the best offenses in the Pac-10 the last couple of years, but what's been really getting them to that point is their defense. And last year, their defense really kind of showed that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then this year, they just, honestly, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, but their defense in their early parts of the season is what really gave them the momentum coming in these last couple games. Obviously, their defense got shredded by Stanford this last past week. But right now, Stanford is one of the elite teams in college football, period. So they're pretty much shredding everybody. And then you can't say enough about Nick Foles and what their offense has been able to accomplish. So this is definitely going to be a task for us. I mean, the way our defense is playing, very inconsistent the last few weeks. So it's going to be a test for them as far as stopping the offense. And it's going to be a test for Barkley to be able to get back on track. He was a little shaky against Arizona State. The offense didn't quite click the way that we have been used to in certain games this year. So I think it's going to be an all-around battle. And whenever you go to Arizona, there's an atmosphere there with the student body that just lends itself to an exciting game, especially with it being a night game on ABC. Arizona is looking for respectability right now. They still have an outside shot for a Pac-10 championship if everything fell in their direction and Oregon were to slip up a couple times. So you never know. They're obviously battling for respectability. They're 7-2. They're ranked. We're not. So it's going to be a big test, and it's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, this is a monster game. The NFL's blowing up. It's taking up a lot of our time. And we definitely want people to check out our NFL podcast on neontommy.com and on iTunes. But obviously, our minds are on SC football. Hey, Bart, tell the people that don't know, when you're talking football in LA, you're talking
football.
Woo! We're what it's all about, baby. We're what it's all about. It doesn't matter that we're on probation. Our games are still huge. This is a huge game. Bart and I are fired up about this game. And hey, anybody that wants to knock us for the Arizona State game, go right ahead. I understand Arizona State is not ranked. I understand they're not a powerhouse year in and year out. That team fought. They exploited a couple of our weaknesses in the secondary late. Our defense played great. They stayed with us. They got an easy score on defense. They got some momentum in the fourth quarter. It was a hell of a game, and our boys pulled it out, bottom line, Bart.
That's all it takes. The W is the most important thing. You know, we took the lead. We let them come back. And as you saw with Atlanta last night, when you take the lead and you let a team come back on you to take a lead themselves, you're either going to crumble or you're going to show some heart and you're going to come back and you're going to win the game. And that's what our team did. It shows two things. It shows that, A, the players understand what it takes to come back and win after letting a lead slip. And B, it shows that they're buying into the coaching, that the coaching really is doing their job, that they're getting these guys focused. No one's given up. Everyone said at the beginning of the year that we were going to have nothing to play for, that as soon as we started to lose some games, that you would see the train come to an abrupt stop. You'd see people start to unravel. And that hasn't happened. And I really have to do credit the coaching staff for that. You know, Lane Kiffin and his staff have really gotten guys motivated to come in and play. I think they've really kind of pounded into their heads that this is USC, and it doesn't matter if there's no light at the end of the tunnel for us. We're still going to be USC. We're still the best no matter what. And so it was good to see. It was an exciting game. It was an exciting fourth quarter. It was nice to actually get a win off a kick since we lost so many games this year off of kicks. So it was kind of some sweet payback right then and there. But I'm excited. It's going to be these last last four games of the season are really going to be a test to what kind of team we have.
I was very encouraged by the game, I got to tell you. I'm obviously a homer. I make no bones about it. But I didn't feel like Barkley had a particularly great game. The defense stood on their head. Mark Tyler, I'm speechless talking about Mark Tyler. He thought he broke his ankle. He heard a pop. He said the pin in his leg probably saved him from season-ending injury. He told me personally that he's fine, that he's going this week. He wasn't practicing up until Thursday's walkthroughs and Friday, today's walkthroughs, but he looks like he's ready to go. And Havili coming out of the backfield, catching a TD pass. We were resilient, Bart. I mean, we were putting him away without great performances from Matt Barkley and Rojo. That, to me, is pretty encouraging.
Absolutely, and Barkley's been a little shaky these last couple games, so I'm really looking forward to him getting back on track and hopefully getting his rhythm down again. And, you know, we needed something like this. We needed a grinded-out kind of blue-collar game. You know, you're not always going to have your number one studs and your big stars make all the big plays. So when you can grind it out with teams and you can get little, all your hardest-working guys and all the little plays that go the right way for you, that's when you know that things are kind of turning around, that you're actually making progress. And for any SC fan, once we made that first loss and you knew you weren't going to go undefeated, it's all about progress and how we're going to go into next year and how we're going to end the season, especially with and what really has been the last few years. These are our biggest rivals in the Pac-10 and also Notre Dame. So it was encouraging for me as well. It was fun to see. It was fun to watch. It was a good game. I was a little frustrated. I was probably screaming at the TV like a lot of us were when they came back and took the lead on us. But I was just really happy with our resiliency.
It was fun to be there. You caught it from the couch. We had two different perspectives. I was there at the Coliseum, and at first you're like, don't worry, you know, that run back, that is what it is, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They kept coming. They kept coming, and it got to the point where I was just like you. I'm standing up going, what the hell are we doing out there? Giving them the Vince Lombardi. They got it together. Joe Houston, man, pressure is piling on this kid. I really feel like, even if Lane Kiffin didn't mean for this to be, if it wasn't his intent, going for the two-point conversions all the time got into this kid's head. It got into this kid's head. He shanked two field goals. He got back on track, and he hit the one that counted, Bart, in the end.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it was really fun to watch just because we had lost those two crucial games on a kick, so it was almost like it was a little ironic that we were able to actually pull out a victory off his leg, and he needed the confidence boost for sure. I think people really have enough respect for the kickers and on extra points to understand that they need their flow as well. And when you need them to kick a game-winning field goal at the end of the game, it's those extra points that really get him in his rhythm. So doing everything you're doing is taking him out of that. And so I don't want to put all the blame on the kicker. I mean, the guy's got to make his kicks, but at the same time, the coaching hasn't really done its part as far as helping this guy out.
Yeah, he is who he thought he was, kind of thing. I don't want to go on a tirade about the kid. He's obviously not one of the NFL prospects in the nation. He needs to little coach him up. Coach Baxter has worked with him. He's stuck by this kid. He's sort of propped him up, stuck with him through thick and thin. Kiffin's starting to give him the opportunities. If we can get our kicking game together, which we haven't had together for, 10 years? We could win some of these close games instead of losing them. Let's move on, Bart. Let's talk this upcoming game this weekend. It's a huge game. Arizona. Everybody knows that you and I can talk that SC football. I want to talk about Nick Foles. He's talented. He's flinging it. He's adding a dimension to that team that they hadn't had. He threw 48 passes against Stanford. I know they got their ass kicked, but, I mean, the kid was absolutely flinging it. He was hooking up. He connected for 28 of 48. What can our SC fans expect from this team? What are we going to see from them come Saturday?
Well, as far as offense, we're going to see a lot of downfield throwing. I mean, he's coming off an injury. He came off an injury against Stanford. You can tell he's a little bit rusty. But with their offense, especially with him behind the center, they like to throw deep quite a bit. So it's going to be a challenge with our secondary to be able to keep guys in front of us and be able to keep pace with their guys because they have fast receivers and they got those guys that can go up. Kreiner, that guy is a speedster. I mean, he's averaging 15.2 yards per catch. He's the one that caught the game-winning touchdown against us last year, so I know he's going to have a target on his back, but that guy is a speedster. He can get by anybody, so it's going to be all about discipline. Can we keep them in front of us? if they get behind us, do we have the guys that can get back and actually make the plays to break up some of those passes? Because if we get one or two, if they get one or two of those long passes on us, then it could be a very long night.
Yeah, that's the absolute key. Shutting down Kreiner, shutting down Foles, not allowing them to hook up deep is the bottom line. It's funny because a lot of people think that's the way you beat SC. We proved last week that Havili, Tyler, our backfield boys can get it done. I want to talk about the tight end game, Bart. You and I have talked about it all summer long. We kept our fans in touch with, you know, who was winning that position battle. I got to say I've been unimpressed by the tight end play. Not picking on the individual guys per se, just feeling like they're not a big part of the Lane Kiffin game plan, Bart.
No, they haven't been, and it seems like they were in the beginning of the season, and they were coming up with some clutch catches, but no, we've gone away from them completely. It's been all wide receivers for the most part, and even the running backs have kind of gotten into the flow, but it just seems like our intermediate game, you know, the 10 to 15-yard game has been mostly to our receivers on the outside.
Right.
And we haven't really been attacking the center of the field all that much, and one thing about football, you need to be able to attack the center of the field to open up the outside more, and defense is kind of key on that, to where if they know that you're not doing that, then they can just keep their safeties out wider, and they can just bottle up your two receivers on the outside, and you need to be able to take advantage of that as well, and I think that they need to get those guys involved, even if you get one or two passes to them in the beginning of a game to kind of just get the secondary a little bit on, you know, kind of notice that they're involved, then what that does is that when you send one of those guys down the seam and then you send Woods or Rojo down the sides, that's going to open up the outside for our receivers because the safety is going to have to respect the tight end play, and he might creep in just enough into the middle of the field to where you have one-on-one on the outside, and any one of our guys will beat any cornerback in the country. So it's just one of those things where I think they're kind of getting away from the tight ends, and I don't know for what reason. I don't know if they feel they're being underachieving. I don't know if they're feeling they're not pulling their weight, but it's something that we need to look at and something they need to go back to for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we need to buy our wide receivers some space. Ever since the nation realized that Robert Woods was legit, was a bona fide star in the making, haven't heard a lot from him, haven't been able to get him a lot of space. Osbury had a touchdown last week. I'm biased. I want to see Osbury touch the ball at least 7 times a game. I feel like there's not one single DB or safety that can take this guy down alone. Arizona State was killing us with wide receiver screens. It worked all game long, deep into the fourth quarter. I don't see why we can't do the same thing with Osbury. What are you seeing in USC's offensive game plan that you do like, Bart?
Well, I think our running game has kind of gotten back on track a little bit. I like the fact that we're kind of taking it two teams. We're not getting fancy. Our running backs are starting to hit the holes a little bit more. And I agree with you. I think that Osbury needs to get more involved. The guy is an absolute beast. He's a man-child when he's out there. Nobody can cover him. And I would definitely like to see him get the ball more within space. Even send him out in the middle. If you send him, you know, into the middle, do an F. 10, 15-yard in, maybe run some skinny posts. That's going to open up the field a lot. And I just like the flow of our offense, the way it's been going. I know Barkley hasn't been as crisp and as sharp lately, and I don't know exactly what's going on with him, but I like our intermediate game. I think we're getting a lot of the shorter passes. We're getting our running backs involved in the passing game a little bit more as of late, which is what I like to see, and I know we talked about that going into the Oregon and Cal games, that we wanted to see that more. And so I think we're on the right track. I think what we have been doing is focusing too much on our outside game and trying to get the big play to Woods and to Johnson, and we're not Oregon. We're not going to be, you know, scoring at will whenever we want to. So we have to get everybody involved. We have to control the tempo. We have to dictate to the safeties where they're going to line up. And right now it seems like these last couple games that the defense has been dictating to Barkley where he's going to throw the ball. You know, all the great quarterbacks can shift the safety here and there, and you know, this is just offensive scheming as well. So they need to get more guys involved to where they can pretty much dictate the flow of the game, where they're going to have a safety line up, where they're going to have a safety move to as far as the outside or the inside, and then take advantage of that.
What I want to see out of Lane Kiffin this weekend is a methodical offensive game plan. I haven't been able to point to something in terms of the tight end game or, you know, getting Osbury involved. I haven't seen that enough to where I'm comfortable and confident that Lane Kiffin has solid plan B and plan Cs. I love Lane Kiffin's play calling. I love, you know, his initial play calls, and when we hook up, it's a beautiful thing. Robert Woods, 42 receptions, 592 yards. He's a star. Ronald Johnson, 46 receptions, 546 yards. Rojo's a star. I'm discouraged by the fact that our tight ends have 22 catches total. Red Ellison, 10. Cameron, 11. Blake Ailes, 1. Compared to a guy like Havili with 26. And Osbury has 17. I got to see Lane Kiffin come out with a methodical game plan. By methodical, I mean I'm going to get Osbury a minimum of 3 or 4 receptions today. 17 total receptions on the season is unacceptable. I'm going to get Osbury 4. Hopefully he goes for 80 or 100 yards and a touchdown. I'm going to get X amount of throws to Havili, X amount of throws to Red Ellison. We got to work that tight end game. I agree with you. Our running game is chugging. And I feel if we incorporate the tight end game more and get Osbury more involved, we could have one of the top running games in the nation, Bart.
Yeah, it'll just open things up for them, definitely. It's one of those situations where when you start to open up the middle of the field and you see guys creeping in to try and take away that, boom, next thing you know, you're getting those deep balls, so then the safeties are a little confused. You have them on their heels. What are they going to do next? And once you start to do that, then you'll start seeing the running lanes get even bigger for our running backs, because you'll start to see safeties and defensive backs starting to creep back a little bit. You'll start to see the linebackers are going to be worried about those tight ends that are getting behind them, so they're going to start to creep back a little bit. And next thing you know, the entire defense is an extra yard, yard and a half off the ball. And you know, people look, they'll go, oh, a yard and a yard and a half, that's a lot. And that's like a mile in football terms. If you give a running back like what we have, like Tyler and Bradford, even Baxter, if he's on his best game, an extra yard, yard and a half of free space to try and make a move, they could take it to the house. And so it's one thing that I agree with completely. I think that we need to work that intermediate game a little bit more, get our tight ends involved, get Osbury involved more, let him take some guys one-on-one, and then we'll start to see lanes open up for the running game, and then we'll be a dominant offensive team for sure.
Yeah, Blake Ailes has only one reception this year. It was for 54 yards. If Blake Ailes is not the intermediate guy that Bart and I are talking about, which he might not be, Bart talked about this guy in the summertime when we were breaking down the competition. Bart and I both liked Red Ellison. Blake Ailes had a bit of a, you know, a bit of a butterfinger problem. If that's the case, you still got to send him deep. Send him deep, make safeties, make linebackers run with the guy. You know, keep him in the game plan, even if he's a decoy. I'm not seeing that. It's like Blake Ailes dropping balls. Okay, you're done. You have one catch on the air. You're going to block or you're going to be on the bench. That's it. We're going to Jordan Cameron and Red Ellison. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but keep Ailes in the game plan. You know, Alan Bradford has no catches. Dylan Baxter has minimal catches. And our tight ends, they're non-existent, Bart. I got to believe if we can get that involved, we will start rocking. Let's talk defense, Bart. I was impressed. I know what the final scoreboard says, 34-33. A lot of that, you know, you got to put it on the defense. They did do a little bit of more breaking than bending in the fourth quarter. I was impressed by what I saw. They stood on their heads for three quarters, and I felt like because of their performance, we could have blown Arizona State off the field, Bart.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the defense has been improving quite a bit over the last few weeks. I mean, honestly, people are going to look at, well, you got blown out by Oregon. I mean, our defense kept us in that game for quite a while. I mean, there was a two or three and outs that Oregon had in succession as far as their series, and that gave our offense an opportunity to get the ball back. And so, I mean, they really did play their asses off in that game, and they really did have a pretty solid performance. I mean, no one's really going to confuse our defense with the Steelers' defense, you know, or even the defenses we had back in the mid-2000s when we won our championships. This is a defense that, like you keep saying, bends. It has broken on a couple occasions, but I think they really have been playing very strong. They've been keeping guys in front of them. The tackling has gotten a lot better, and you saw that at the beginning of the year, tackling was the biggest issue. There are some players that are still having trouble wrapping up, and I think it's just because of our scholarship issue. We don't want to get guys injured during practice, so we're still not practicing the fundamentals, and that's showing in these games. But at the same time, the intensity is there. The guys have not quit, and they really are playing with a lot of pride. And, you know, I'm happy to see it.
I'm happy to see it, too. And, hey, Bart and I didn't let these guys off the hook regarding last year. They weren't tackle machines last year. When we had a full roster, could practice at will, We weren't tackle machines. We weren't haunting any running back's dreams the way we were with Maaluga and Cushing, and that's okay. We'll reload. Kennard is growing. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna be a man beast next year. I gotta believe he's just going to improve. He's gonna get that much faster, that much bigger, that much stronger. I like what I see out of the defense. I like what we're doing. I like what I'm seeing. We had a nice pick six, Malcolm Smith. Holler at your boy. That was awesome last weekend. Yo. The place was erupting. I was on my feet jumping up and down. My girl was on her feet jumping up and down. It was awesome. We're not doing it enough. We need the other guys. We need Sharice. We need some of those linemen to get some sacks, force fumble, fumble recoveries. It's not happening yet, but I like what I'm seeing. Wes Horton, Bart. Wes Horton's going to be a man beast for a couple years to come. Bottom line it for the folks, man. At number 18, Arizona, 5 p.m. Saturday night. Who you got, Bart?
Well, I think SC is going to win this game. The thing about Arizona is they've proven over the last couple of years, no matter how good they've been, they haven't been able to perform up in these primetime games when the whole country is watching. And they're coming off a heartbreaker against Stanford, but really they got pushed around. Stanford throttled them. I mean, they were physical up front, and the defensive line couldn't handle it. The offensive line couldn't handle it. So if we take anything out of that game and we have any scheme, any kind of game plan for this, it's pretty much on our two lines, our offensive and defensive line, to really set the tone. And we have the offensive line in the running game that can do to them what Stanford did. So it's going to be one of those, if we go in there and we play ball possession, we run it down their throats, and we set up the pass through the run and open up the running game with the intermediate game like we've been talking about, then I don't see any reason why we can't beat them. They're not Stanford and they're not Oregon. This is a team that has a quality offense. They can score as much as any team in the nation. But at the same time, this is not a team that's going to go in there and throttle people week in and week out. I mean, they barely beat Iowa. You know, they came back. They barely beat Cal. This is not a team that's going to create a lot of separation in the scoring. So if we keep it close, we can win for sure.
Yeah, I like our chances. I like our chances a lot. I think we're going to go roll in and smack them in the face. And, hey, I hope they do their two-quarterback thing. I hope they bust out every gimmick they got. Bust out Foles. Bust out Matt Scott with him running the ball out of the quarterback position. It really doesn't matter to us. I feel like, you know, we're going to run it up on this team. They're going to put some points up on the board late, making it look good. I got this game going 42-35, Bart. We both got the Trojans rolling out of Arizona Stadium with a win, Bart. And that's what it's all about, son. We rock that SC football segment, Bart. Check out our NFL segment on iTunes, on neontommy.com. We'll be talking SC football all year long through December, baby. We'll talk to you next week.